This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
The weekend is upon us. Last weekend, I spent the entire weekend talking about babies. One time was my every week sermon to my congregation, and I talked about babies for Sanctity of Human Life Day. Then that night, I went to another congregation and talked about adopting babies to families, some of them infertile, some of them not, thinking about adoption and praying about whether or not to adopt children. There was a guy at that church that's a regular listener of the Albert Mohler Program who came up, and bless his heart, he said, "You know, you look so much younger than Albert Mohler does," which I greatly appreciated, and Dr. Mohler did not at all. But then he said, "But you sound so much older than he does on the radio." Well, I don't know. Is that a compliment or is that a diss? I don't know. But that was his assessment anyway. Talked about babies there, and then talked about babies at a wedding. And that may have been the place that surprised the most people, because so often people think of weddings as a celebration of love between the couple. They're coming to have you join us in our love. That is not what a wedding is about. A wedding is about the formation of a family. It is a man and a woman being joined together in a covenant commitment with witnesses all around saying, "We're going to hold you to your vows. We're going to hold you to stand by your words. And we are praying that God is going to bring from this union a family." So I spent a lot of time talking about the fact that we pray and hope that God will bring children from this union, and that God will see that these children come to know Christ, that these are godly, Christ-exalting children, and that God would give to this couple godly, Christ-exalting children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren to the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, that is something that is making increasingly less and less sense, not only out there in the culture around us, but sometimes in our own church pews. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And I want to know from you, do you think that we in our churches are rightly understanding the blessing of children? And if not, what can we do to turn that around? How can we as churches encourage our people who listen to us every week, those of you who are pastors, or those of you who teach Sunday school, or those of you who usher, or those of you who are just there every week faithfully supporting the cause of Christ, how can we encourage people to see children in a different way than the outside culture sees children? Are we really exalting and equipping people to see children as a blessing? I don't think we are. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I have a friend who has said years ago, and it really stuck with me when he said it. He's a pastor, and he said, "The abortion culture is downstream from many things that are going on in our churches. Because before we aborted children in the womb, we aborted them in our minds." And what he means by that is we began to see children as a burden, children as an obstacle. Even sometimes people who have children, sometimes people who have lots of children, who nonetheless are constantly grumbling and complaining and everything that I'm giving up in order to have these children in the house, or young couples who believe that they have to wait until they can afford to have children, by which they mean that you budget a line item for children in the budget, and you wait until that line item appears, and then you have the children. That is completely, completely wrong-headed way of seeing children. Children are not an expense to be budgeted for. They're a blessing from the Lord. And how can we speak that? How can we teach that? How can we communicate that when almost everything from television advertising to popular music to conversations in the hallway to school curricula, everything seems to picture children in an entirely different way? How can we change that? How can we be the people How can we, as the churches of Jesus Christ, how can we be the people who are countercultural when it comes to babies? Not just that we don't abort them, of course. Not just that we don't abandon them, God forbid, but that we receive them as blessings and we point the rest of the culture to the fact that we are a people who embrace life and embrace babies. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think are some things that churches can do to say, yeah, have babies, enjoy babies, embrace the goodness and the blessing of babies? 877-893-8255. I want to hear from you. Maybe you think we're doing a good job of that in our churches. Maybe you think that our churches are baby-affirming as they are. Well, if so, then help the churches that are not. How do you do it? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And maybe there's some of you out there who completely disagree with me. You think I am crazy because you think, you know, having children is something you just ought to pray through and see as an option and maybe fit them in at some point in your life and make sure that they're not going to be that big of a burden to what you want to do. Well, tell me why you think that. 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. But first, in the news today, speaking of babies, exactly what we talked about yesterday on this program, President Barack Obama is expected sometime very soon, maybe even while we're on the air today, to issue some executive orders reversing abortion policy currently in place from the Bush administration. Yesterday, of course, was the 36th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion, and President Obama is planning to override the Mexico City policy, which has been in place since the Reagan administration, except for a short time during the Clinton administration, and it bans taxpayer money, United States of America, from going to international family planning groups that either do abortions or refer people to places to do abortions. And President Obama is also expected to restore funding to the United Nations Population Fund, probably in this next budget that he's going to be submitting to the Congress very soon. Robert Gibbs, who is the new press secretary for President Obama, had this to say.
We've been getting some pre-action, I guess you'd call it, today from family planning advocates who expect that the president will lift the gag rule on NGOs accepting funding and talking about abortion, et cetera. And I'm wondering if you can, in advance, give us any sort of preview about his thinking on this, its impact, and also, how might that, is there anything comparable domestically that he's planning to do with regard to abortion policy?
As I said yesterday, as a part of my overall career advancement, I found it useful to get out of the way of a principal that might be making news on certain subjects later on in the afternoon. And I will exercise that right again today and ask you to stay tuned for a statement from the president possibly on those issues soon.
And this is really, really tragic and is really, really sad. And there are children, there are babies who are never going to see the light of day because of what's happening today with this executive order. All I can say is we ought to pray that President Obama has a last-minute change of mind, that he doesn't issue this executive order, that there's just a check in his gut and his conscience, and he doesn't do it. But if he does, we need to be praying that he will reverse it. And frankly, those of you who claim, oh, we're evangelical Christians and we believe that Barack Obama is going to do what it takes to reduce abortions, well, here you go. This is what he's doing to reduce the abortions, to fund the abortion culture and export it worldwide. It's a tragic day. And we simply need to be praying for the president's wisdom that he'll come to see things in a different way. Governor David Paterson of New York, in the end of an ongoing drama, has chosen Hillary Clinton's successor in the United States Senate, and it is Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand. She's 42 years old, and she's from upstate New York. And this is what Governor Paterson had to say about her.
She is dynamic. She is articulate. She is perceptive. She is courageous. She is outspoken. I am appointing her to the United States Senate representing New York today. Please welcome our next senator and current Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand.
And pro-gun control advocates are really upset about this because Congresswoman Gillibrand is a key supporter of the Second Amendment and is opposed to gun control, not to mention the Kennedy family is not too happy today. I'll tell you what I'm happy about. Babies. Life. children? Do you think our churches are? Do you think that we are encouraging young couples to have babies? Do you think we ought to be? Do you think that's part of the mission of the church? To say to people, have babies. Enjoy babies. Build a new nursery onto the house. Is that something we ought to be saying and teaching and preaching? I am, but maybe you think I'm crazy. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Is it any of our business if people have babies? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Call me, I want to talk to you, 877-893-TALK.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
The Pope is against the pill. The union's against the workers, working against their will. The president's against the Congress. The Senate is against the House. People are against politicians, and I'm against cats in the house.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I'm with Hank on that one. I'm against cats in the house, and I'm for love, I'm for happiness, I'm for babies. I wonder, though, are our churches really emphasizing how much we are for the newness of life that comes with children, with the blessing of children? And I want to know what you think. Do you think our churches are doing a good job of highlighting the fact that children are blessings? They're gifts to be received, and that parenting is a joy. Do you think we're communicating that well enough? And if not, what can we do? And I don't just mean the pastor of any given congregation. I mean but the entire church. What can we do to change that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I've got some ideas, but I want to hear from you. What do you think we can do to change the way that we emphasize the fact that children are a blessing? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on a mission trip to Turkey. And today we are talking to Steve Waters. And Steve and his wife Candace have authored a new book called Start Your Family, Inspiration for Having Babies. And I'm really excited about talking to Steve today because there's some really good stuff in this book. Steve is the director of Young Adults for Focus on the Family. And he and his wife Candace have really, I think, hit something that is really significant and important here. You can see Steve and Candace's work on the website Boundless. Many of you are very familiar with Boundless, and it's just a treasure trove of material, really, really good and helpful material. And I would just commend it to you. Go to Boundless and look and see some of the resources that are available to you and to your family and to your neighborhood as you seek to carry out the witness of Christ wherever it is that you are and where God has placed you. Steve Waters, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thanks so much. You're doing a great job with the show today.
Well, thanks so much. I have really enjoyed reading this book by Moody Publishers, publishing this, Start Your Family. And I think it is really needed because one of the things, Steve, that I find when I'm talking to young, newly married couples, Christian couples, is that often they are being discouraged from having babies by their parents and extended families.
Absolutely. I noticed in your message this past Sunday, you were talking about how often the first thing they hear is, boy, you need to spend time getting to know each other. You need to get your finances established. And that's exactly how my wife and I felt.
Mm-hmm.
But because we got married at the average age, late 20s, if we hadn't had an older couple come along to us and encourage us to be a lot more intentional about our time, and I think we would have missed these great kids we've come to know.
Now, what did the older couple do? How did the Lord use them in your life?
Well, they came out and they wanted to know when we were going to start our family. We had been married about a year,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't casually interested. They wanted to know why we weren't having kids right now,
mm-hmm.
and which was kind of interesting for us. And we went on a hike with them, and I saw the sign on the hike that said, beware of rattlesnakes, but I was more frightened about the things I was hearing in front of me, this conversation about babies and fertility and timelines and all this kind of stuff. And we went back to our apartment and talked it all through, and they said, look, babies are wealth. Don't be so anxious about your money.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are wealth. And then they also said, what makes you think that when you're ready to have children that your body will be ready?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wish that there were an entire army of older couples like that. That is very, very rare and unusual, even in churches these days.
Oh, it is, and it's the same couple that came alongside and really gave us a vision for marriage, and we've just really come to value older couples who are willing to stick their necks out like that.
You know, Steve, I think a lot of couples, older couples in churches, that may be in the same situation as that couple, would be hesitant to say anything because they would think, well, this is really none of my business when they have babies.
Such a laissez-faire culture, and you're not supposed to be playing a role. These are individuals who are grown ups. It's a highly personal decision. That's all the stuff you hear. But at the same time, those voices of influence, boy, they matter more than so many other voices out there. And mm-hmm. we just wish they would be willing to stick their nose out a little.
Mm-hmm. Steve, one of the things that, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the things that young couples being married are often told is, wait, don't have children immediately because you want to have time to get to know one another, to enjoy one another. What would you say to a young couple that's hearing that all the time?
Well, for one thing, I would say, look, whether you know it or not, your body is designed in a certain way that you've got a window of fertility, and a lot of couples find this out the hard way, mm-hmm. that at the average age couples are married now, fertility is already beginning to drop.
Mm-hmm.
It's already reached its peak. By the mid-30s, it's beginning to accelerate its drop, and by 40s, it's just plummeted. And mm-hmm. even with all the advancements in technology for fertility, there's just only so much they can do to coax fertility out of a lot of these bodies of people who are waiting way too late.
Don't you think, Steve, that one of the huge obstacles that we have to face is just the very idea of love that we have in our culture right now, which it seems to me is a really hormonal, adolescent view of love, that you ought to just kind of take advantage of as much of that as you want and have your babies when it's all gone and your life is over.
Yeah, I mean, I love how Dr. Moeller talks about the goods of marriage, and then mm-hmm. our culture feels like they can just take, you know, one good or the other, instead of embracing all the goods of marriage, which include the fruit that comes out of that love.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in terms of a soulmate culture, where you've got people who are trying to live out the soulmate fantasy of all the things this person's supposed to complete in them. You know, when they say they want to spend time getting to know each other, a lot of times what they mean is, this person is supposed to be my soulmate. We want to spend time really fulfilling all those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, those expectations are pushing a lot of people outside of the window of opportunity to have babies. But also, when those babies come, it's really hurting those marriages even more, because it's hard to nurture a soulmate relationship and give the baby the nurture it needs.
Now, a lot of the response that I often get to this issue is, well, we can't afford to have babies right now. And I really like something that you say in the book, that babies are not expense, babies are wealth. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's just this reminder that it's a totally different way of calculating. We do so many cost-benefit analysis for anything in life these days, and people who would do that for babies, who would just look at the price tag, the mm-hmm. estimate that comes out of the U.S. Department of Agriculture of about $250,000,
mm-hmm.
they could look at that and say, well, you know, for any good I'm supposed to get out of that, I'm sure I can spend that money elsewhere and get a quicker return and have nice return policies and all that. But having a baby is just nowhere even close to getting a lease on a car, getting a mortgage, anything else in life. The dynamics are so totally different because there's a soul there. There's a life. There's potential. There's hope. There's a future. All these things that you really can't put a price tag on. It really is priceless.
And it actually is the case that having children is not as expensive as people think.
Right.
It
Especially
really
if
is
you
not.
Avoid all those chic, you know, high-end stuff they're trying to push you on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't need Baby Gap.
Oh, no, we got by without it when we were kids.
That's exactly right. I want to hear from you, listener. What do you think? How do you think that we ought to encourage people to have babies, or should we not? Maybe you think that this older couple that took Steve and his wife Candace aside and said, hey, you've been married a year, where are the babies? Maybe you think, you know, that's so nosy, that's so intrusive. I don't think so. I think that couple, whoever they are, I want to give them a high five. I think they're heroes. But what do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. How can we in our churches encourage people and families to embrace children? Stop looking at the price tag. Embrace the blessing of children. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Moeller. Give me a call, 877-893-TALK.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Rugrats, ankle biters, burdens. You hear it all the time. My wife goes into the grocery store sometimes with our four small boys under the age of seven, and she will get the most glaring looks, usually from baby boomer age people who kind of look at you like, why in the world would you be walking around with four boys under the age of seven? Oh, or people will say things like, oh, you've got your hands full. Oh, my goodness, I wouldn't want to be you. You can understand that. That's the perspective of the outside world right now. There are all kinds of reasons why people think that way. My question is, why do we think that way in Christian churches? Or why do we think that way in the communities of the kingdom? And how can we change it? I want to hear from you. What are some ways that you think that we as churches can encourage babies and children in life? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And I'm talking today with Steve Waters. Steve and his wife Candace are the authors of a new book called Start Your Family, Inspiration for Having Babies. You can go to Amazon.com, put that on your wish list right now. And Steve and Candace also work with the Boundless.org website. It is a great resource. And they also have a new website called StartYourFamily.com that will have a lot of the material that we're talking about today. I encourage you to check that out as well. But let me know what you think. How can we encourage families to embrace babies as a blessing? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Steve, when you're talking to pastors and churches, what do you say to churches as to how they can help encourage children, babies, and families?
Well, I think one of the things to point out is just how closely connected family formation is to spiritual formation,
mm-hmm.
that God grows us in our commitments to new people to whom we've said I do, and new people we've brought into the world, that we're all called to be like Christ, but few things in life cause us to actually lay our lives down, to have the selfishness beaten out of us,
mm-hmm.
like having to care for a baby especially. A marriage can do it, but parenting especially stretches it.
Mm-hmm.
And for churches to realize that if they want to see young couples grow, one of the best things they can do is help them embrace the call to fruitfulness instead of giving in to fearfulness.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to a couple that says, you know, we've come from really bad backgrounds. Our parents really weren't believers. They didn't raise us in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're new believers, and we're kind of nervous and scared about bringing new people into this world. What would you say to that couple?
Well, I can understand. I've got a colleague who used to draw his family tree, and it would have all kinds of broken branches and bad apples all
mm-hmm.
over the thing. But he talked about the hope that they embraced in deciding that they were going to bring life into the world. And that when they did that, they were amazed to see God use that life and the investment they made in their kids move back into that family tree and restore branches and turn bad fruit into good fruit. And to really believe, although it's going to be hard and there are extra challenges, God can redeem, and God is the God of hope.
You know, don't you think that one of the reasons why it is so difficult sometimes for people having children is we live in this really rootless, mobile society, and often you have people who just don't know people where they are. They're on their own with their children.
Yeah, and that doesn't really seem to make that big of a deal in their lives until they do start thinking about kids. I know that's exactly how my wife and I felt. We headed out 1,000 miles away from home,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, it was good in a lot of ways to leave and cleave, but when we started thinking about kids and the babies came along, boy, it sure made it obvious that old system of the Bible, you know, where you had the family, the insula, the clan surrounding you, sure makes a difference. And it really made us really evaluate, you know, how much family means in our lives and how important it is to be plugged into a great church.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a challenge for local churches. That means that we have a lot of spiritual grandparents needed in our local congregations.
Well, and that's why we had to go and adopt some godparents for our kids, so that we could give them that experience of investing in these kids and then give our kids that investment of the older couples.
Steve Waters, thank you very much for being with us today. He's the author, with his wife Candace, of Start Your Family, Inspiration for Having Babies. And Steve, I pray that this book has a great influence. I pray there are babies born because of this book.
Amen. That's our prayer.
Well, I want to hear from you, listener. What do you think? How can we encourage people to have babies? Is it our business? Should you say to that couple in your church, when are you going to have the babies? Where are the babies? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What can your church do? What can you do to say, you know what, babies aren't a burden, babies are a blessing. We believe it. 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
But I believe in love. I believe in babies. I believe in mom and dad. And I believe.
I believe in you. That's what I want to hear from you today. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I want to hear from you. How do you think we as churches, as Christians, ought to be encouraging the blessing of children? Do you think we're doing a good job with that? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think we're doing a pitiful job with it. And I think one thing that's really important for us to know, we were talking here in the studio a few minutes ago about that couple that Steve, our guest, mentioned a few minutes ago, took him for a walk and said, where are the babies? That's not something that just anyone can do. This isn't a random stranger who's walking up to the pew and saying, hey, I noticed you in the church directory, where are your kids? There are all kinds of issues involved in infertility and struggles, miscarriages, all kinds of things, and that's not the way to handle it. But this is a relationship that is already built. And so the only way that we're going to be able to grow one another in Christ, the way the Scripture says that we're to do, to encourage one another, so Scripture says, to bear one another's burdens, is when you have those close, loving, intimate relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ, and between fathers in the faith and sons in the faith and mothers in the faith and daughters in the faith. That's absolutely essential. What do you think? How should our churches be changing the way that the people in our churches see children and babies? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Scott on the line. Scott, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi. Hey, I love this radio show. Thanks for your leadership.
Oh, thanks so much. What's your thought today?
Well, hey, listen, two very quick thoughts. First of all, my wife and I have two adopted daughters from China.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to encourage, and I think the church should too, as many times as they can, encourage infertile families as well as fertile ones to adopt. They told us a long time ago, you know, adoption doesn't have to be plan B.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a viable plan A to build a family with.
I agree with that. Somebody ought to write a book about that. I actually have a book on that coming out very soon. Part of it is exactly what you say. We need to be saying adoption isn't just something for infertile couples, although it is something for infertile couples, but it ought to be part of the mission of the entire church. And that means that you've got people in the church that maybe the Lord is not calling to adopt, but the Lord is blessed with the resources to help other couples to adopt financially. And frankly, that's one of the things that the Lord used in my own life, was somebody who was willing to say, you know what, I've got this money, and I want to give it to you as a gift, as an investment in the life of children. I didn't want to take it. I've never taken money from anybody. And I said, no, you use that money. You do that money. Use that money for a house payment or for something like that. And he said, no. He said, crucify your pride and let me help you. Let me serve you in this. You know, that guy was wise and and godly, and we need more like him in our churches all over the place. What do you think? How can our churches encourage the blessing of children? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Linda, who is listening in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, on XM Radio. Linda, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What do you think about this issue, Linda?
I think that it's very important that we teach our children that the best things in life are not things.
Mm. How do you do that?
I think by making sure you have family time, really spending fun with your kids, spending quality time playing games together, mm-hmm. not saving up for that big trip to Disney World or mm-hmm. Disneyland, but doing those simple everyday fun things mm-hmm. that don't have those high price tickets on them. Just showing them that you can have a good time in your backyard. Put up a volleyball net, invite the neighbors over, invite children in from your church.
Mm-hmm.
Incorporate your church and your families, and forget about all those high-ticket trips.
Yeah, Linda, I think another key aspect of that is advertising. One of the reasons why the children and the adults in our churches are so captive to mammon is because they're constantly being inundated with television advertising, selling stuff that we don't need and wouldn't want unless we were being told to want them by Madison Avenue marketeers. I think that's a key aspect. What do you think? How should we encourage families and babies in our churches? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We've got Carrie on the line. Carrie, what do you think about this?
I think one of the things Christians can do to inspire other people to have children is discipline their children.
Mm.
So many children, I think our parents disciplined us, and it's run amok.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared to discipline. They're scared to spank because of that fine line of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Bible clearly states that, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
That child is going to be a disgrace to their family.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, you see a woman with three crazy kids that yell and scream and don't mm-hmm. obey her. Well, of course, who mm-hmm. wants to deal with that?
Yeah.
And even Christians, wonderful Christians, are letting children walk all over them. And they're trying to teach them to do this and to do that. But when they're young, they need some sort of an upper hand, like we do from God, of just, you do it because I say this is what you should do. You're not supposed to understand everything.
Well, you know, Carrie, I think that's an interesting point. I think you're right that one of the deterrents to children is undisciplined, wild children. I also think, though, that on the other side, you also have an understanding sometimes from people who have never been around children or who have been around one child, that they expect children to be little adults who are sitting with their hands folded. And when they see real live children who aren't disobeying, but who are just bundles of energy, they leave Legos all over the floor until you tell them to clean it up. And they bound down the stairs and they do that kind of thing. They think, well, this is just wild. I can't handle this. But when you're around real, live, flesh and blood children who are disciplined to obey, but who also, they're allowed to be kids, they're allowed to be children, that's really important in showing the goodness and the blessing of children. What do you think? How can our churches signal a new attitude toward children? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about babies. How can we encourage babies? We have Frank on the line really quickly. Frank from Newport Richey, Florida. What's your thought on this?
Yeah, I was heard you talking earlier about the line item for the children budgeting.
Yeah.
We have three adopted children from Taiwan and four of our own, and I'll have you know that God provides everything.
Well, you know, Frank, I think that's exactly right. I remember being so scared as a newly married man. It's to my shame that I say this. So scared of an unintended child because I was afraid I couldn't afford it. And, you know, the Lord taught me a lot in the years after that. And it took a lot to teach me that, to teach that children aren't the flesh and blood equivalent of a car or a swimming pool. This is a blessing from the Lord. You know, I just have to say props right now to Benjamin and to Timothy and to Samuel and Jonah. I'm going to be home in a few minutes. I'm going to be glad to see you. And I am thankful to the Lord for doing what it took to make me the kind of dad that you need to have. And I just pray right now that all of us in all of our homes and in all of our churches will stop listening to the kind of you. You know, there are the people who will come up, and if you're one of these people, stop doing it. Stop walking up and saying to people, oh, you must be so burdened to have these children, or oh, it's so expensive to have children, or oh, I just can't believe what it takes to have children. Pharaoh had that view of children, according to the Bible. Herod had that view of children, according to the Bible, seeing the children as an obstacle to what I want to do. But God didn't have that view of children. Every time that God looks at children in the Scripture, He sees it as a blessing. He delights in the blessing of the fruitfulness, in the blessing of the new life. And let me tell you something, in your churches, if you do not care about children, not just the children who are born into your church families, but the children in your neighborhoods, the children who don't have moms and dads to take them into your church, the children who never get to hear, I love you. If you don't care about those children, if you do not receive the blessing of birth and new birth, you are never going to be an evangelistic church. Don't call yourself a soul-winning, Bible-believing church unless you're committed to winning the souls of kids and teaching the Bible to kids, taking those kids' faces in your hands and saying, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.